Welcome everybody to podcast 010, otherwise known as 10. That's right, we've hit a decade. Not really, because we had 000, so this is really actually podcast 11. It's quite confusing, I know. And today we're talking all about children and the paranormal. Most specifically children, well, and young people, I should say, investigating the paranormal. What we think of that, what the public thinks of that. And we've also got an interview later with someone that is doing just that. But as always, I'm being joined by the very widely smiling Paul right now.
How are you, everyone?
Why are you smiling so big?
Just you said a lot of that.
Yeah. We got our reporter, Debbie Williams.
How's it going?
And we have Tash McDonald, the medium.
Hi, how you going?
Now, children and the paranormal. Very first of all, let's just talk about it in general, not so much them interacting with the, not so much them investigating the paranormal, but children in the paranormal. Random comments, guys, chuck it out there.
I filmed the little kiddies down at St. Kilda Playground and put that together a little while ago.
You did?
That was a pretty nice little piece, and two little friends gave me some cute little stories.
That's right. Two of our co-hosts have children. Do your children...
Unfortunately.
Do your children know about the paranormal? Do they know that this whole other realm potentially exists? I said potentially, everybody. Potentially exists. And do they have an interest in it?
Hell yeah. They do. They love it. My daughter's six, and her favourite show is Celebrity Ghost Stories. Absolutely adores it. And my son's a ghost adventurer freak. So, I know they talk about it a lot, and I'm a bit worried about the way it influences them. I try not to hide it, but I don't know. It's a really tough topic to cover for me anyway, because they are influenced by it.
Tash?
My son, he's a bit older, he's 9, he's had a few paranormal experiences. He's been to a few psychic fairs with me, got his own crystals, but as far as the shows goes, he's absolutely shit scared, and he won't watch them.
No, my kids aren't scared of shit. They're really active. They want to go ghost hunting. Just down the road from me, there's a place called the Flour Mill down in Port Adelaide, and it looks like a pretty spooky sort of building. And I keep telling the kids at school that they've been there with me. They haven't, but, you know, they're just showing off. And, I mean, when I go pick up my daughter from school, look at these kids running up. Do you go looking for ghosts? So they've been spreading all these little rumours.
Didn't your daughter see a ghost there or somewhere near there?
No, she saw a ghost at home or a spirit.
Did she?
Yeah.
I thought she said, she said that you were driving past and she said there's a ghost.
That was at the wool sheds, and it was a fire hydrant in the window.
They can get you those fire hydrants and fire extinguishers and fire rigs.
Yeah, I know someone else has mistaken one of them as well.
But this should be a fairly interesting show, because we have two people here with children who can, I guess, answer from a parental aspect. Yeah. And we have two people here without children who are just outside observers in this, I suppose, and can, just no real bias towards either way, really, just what we see.
Right. Okay. My kids, they're not scared of the dark. They're not really scared of anything. They're very intrigued by the whole thing. They grab my millimeter and they'll walk up and down the hallway, go looking. And look, my daughter's seen a spirit at home. She saw my mum rock up to her, after she passed, and now she goes looking. So she loves it.
I just need to say, I believe on a spiritual level, children are more aware of spirits because, like Paul said, with being fearless, they don't have that fear installed in them yet. That's why children are more actively, their brains are more active. Until they get that fear, that's when they shut it off. And that's said to be, a lot of psychics believe that as well.
I think that's true too. I had a lot of people say to me that they believe children are more sensitive for sure.
Absolutely. And we hear about that in the feed on the streets, which is coming up very soon. I found it interesting, though, that, Paul, your children aren't afraid of ghosts, aren't afraid of the dark, but Tash, your son is. Now, do you think it's because of the two different perspectives they're seeing it by? So with Paul's children, they're seeing it from an investigation side, more like. So they're going to see it more from, Paul's got tech, Paul's watching these shows, they're watching the shows with you.
Yeah.
Whereas Tash, your son is seeing it more from a spiritual side.
Yeah.
Do you think that plays a role in, I guess, their own attitudes? But also, Tash, your son's a bit older than Paul's children as well, so.
I think also my son has experienced death and has, well, obviously your children experience death as well, but my son has more of a knowledge on death and has witnessed it firsthand and has more of an understanding of it than what a little child would have of death. Like, death is a very confusing thing for a child to explain to them, that person's never coming back, but until they get older and they get a better of an understanding. So I think that's also why he fears it as well.
Okay, so you reckon there's a fear out of acknowledgement that the fact that he knows more about what it means to be dead?
Yeah.
To maybe what your children do. Do you think that could be correct, the fact that he's a little bit older and I guess a little bit more mature in that aspect?
Don't know. I'm not sure about that at all. I think it's probably more to do so with the technical side of things, like pretty much how you described it. But mind you, my children are scared of some of the devices. The Ovilus, they shit themselves when they see that. So, yeah, they don't like that. Well, my daughter doesn't. My son loves it, but the daughter doesn't.
Age, absolutely. Tash brought up a very important point, has something to do with it. A child in its natural development reaches a certain stage, a certain age. They look at the clock or they look at a watch and they say, oh, that minute will never come back again. And that's an acknowledgement of their own mortality. They don't realise that that's what's happening. Until that happens, you're just bulletproof and you're just living and you're having fun and you're doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, one day, every one of us will remember it at some point. You look at your watch and you say, oh, that minute will never come back again. And that's when they realise mortality, and it is something to do with age, for sure.
You just ruined my life.
What do you mean? God,
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. It's somewhere between about, say, 6 and 8 years old when they have that realisation, yes.
Or sometimes 42.
Well, Tash, your son's getting to an age now.
Yes.
we hear about it a little bit, but so your son's getting to an age now. Have you seen that moment happen where he realised the difference between, well, not knowing what death actually meant, and then, well, this means, well, you don't come back, well, not in a physical sense?
Yes. Recently, I just had my great auntie pass a couple of months ago, and I actually took him in to see her. I explained on the way that she's sick and she's not going to be. He hadn't seen her for a few months, so he'd seen her when she was well. And when I brought him in, it scared the life out of him because she was dying. Her body was shutting down, her organs were shutting down. You know, she did look like death. So, and that would have scared the hell out of him, knowing that, you know, that she's never going to be around anymore. And I think when we went to the funeral, that gave him more of an understanding as well, actually being at the funeral and seeing the coffin and that sort of thing. I even remember when I was eight, when I was eight and I experienced my first death in my family, I didn't have an understanding about it and didn't know why these people were crying and didn't really grasp what was going on until later on in life.
Paul, well, your children went through a kind of a similar process, I suppose, when your mother was dying. Did they understand?
Uncle. Oh, yeah. We went to the funeral parlour every day and visited my mum after her death, and we saw her a lot, and they had no problems with my mum's...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's hard to describe. I don't know, they know what it is. My daughter does, definitely. And, you know, we go to the cemetery. I take them probably once a month, but I go a bit more. But they've accepted it. And I think they do understand what it is. But, like, because they are young, I think they do think they're invisible. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're at an age where they still bounce.
Yeah.
They run, they hit something, they cry, but they're over it, kind of thing. Children's bones knit real well, apparently. Dents come out easy, just get the suction cap on and pull it out of the skull.
Maybe it's that childhood innocence that makes them more open and more acceptable to exploring the ideas of ghosts or the paranormal.
So maybe it's the imagination they're able to, in their minds, make it whatever they want. They can make this not such a threatening thing, perhaps.
Another interesting thing that my son brought up, and I brought this up on my page the other day, is I was buying crystals And out of nowhere, he turned around and said to me, "Mum, you need to get..." He was really interested in them. He's got a few of his own that were given to him by a psychic at a psychic fair because he was having bad nightmares. But yeah, he turned around to me and said something that I thought he'd never say. And he said, "Mum, you need to get crystals for your chakras. You need to get them for your energy centers." Now, obviously, he's been listening to what I've been saying to other people, and he's learned that from me. So he's learned that spiritual side of energy and things, whereas you're more technical minded. Like, yeah. I don't have an ovulus, and I don't have a K2 meter, and he's not going to, you know what I mean? So he's seeing it as a spiritual side of me communicating, and he's seen me do all the readings and stuff. And
you tell him scary stories?
No. Not at all. And I have tried to get him to watch. He'll watch the shows with me, but like me, I fall asleep in these shows. I don't know why. I just do. I fall asleep watching these shows. But he's scared of the dark, and he won't watch these shows alone.
My daughter likes them more than me, so she's full on into it. And my son, every time he watches Ghost Adventures, he goes, "Oh, look, there's Ashley." I think you're Aaron.
I wouldn't want him to think I was anyone else, to be honest.
Yeah, and and he comes up and he tells me all these scary stories. He comes up with, like, he always says us two. I don't know why, but he always says me and Asher at some location, and he goes, and the ghost went kalump, kalump, kalump. And I don't know, it doesn't go anywhere from there. I mean, he's only just turned four, so.
Now, while we're just on the topic of your two children, we've talked a lot about ghosts. We'll just very briefly cover now. Do you guys think your children have a good understanding of what aliens and UFOs are?
No.
Hell yeah. My son knows everything about aliens, man. The little shit's he's a lost in space freak, and so he knows all about UFOs and aliens, and he loves, what's the other show? Doctor Who. Which,
okay.
Yeah, so he knows all about his time travel, and he's a very... funny four-year-old.
My son's only, when he was a bit younger, he was into Star Wars, but that's all where it went. Yep. That was it.
Okay, what about psychics and mediums?
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay, that's a yes from Tasha's side.
Nah, yep, definitely. Yeah. My kids go imitating, because we have watched a few episodes of... Derek back in the old days.
Their knowledge of psychics and mediums is Derek Agora.
Yeah.
What are you doing to your children?
I love the way they mimic them, because they do mimic some of these things. They mess around in the hallway and that, you know. They walk around with a thermal imager and pretend they're doing stuff. So it's quite funny, actually. I'd love to get it on tape one day. It'd be hilarious.
What about cryptozoology? Not necessarily the word itself, but Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, all that kind of stuff.
A little bit, not so much. But I'm not into that sort of stuff. So everything that I pretty much do, it's reflecting on him, obviously.
Yep.
I don't know. No, not really. But, you know, they do come out with some things, some weird things. They draw some funny pictures. They don't really draw vampires or zombies. See, my daughter, maybe I shouldn't say that. She loves The Walking Dead as well. It's one of my favourite shows. And I don't know if I should be letting her watch all this stuff at the age of six, but that's my missus does that.
What's wrong with that, really?
6 years old is a lot different it's now than it was back in the day.
Because I play some gory games on the PC. I don't mind my shoot 'em ups. And one thing is, it was a couple of kids over, and I'm playing, I think it was, I can't remember the name of the game. But I started shooting the civilians in the airport, and this kid goes, "Oh, you're not meant to kill them." And my son, who's four, goes, "When Dad plays, everyone dies."
Oh, no. Deb, you got any questions for these two, like paranormal-wise, what their children might not know?
I think they covered it. That's pretty cool.
All right. There's probably some other aspects there, but we don't need to cover them. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. That was a good way to go out. And hopefully not everyone here is going to die while we're gone. When we come back, it's going to be Feet on the Street, guys. And, yeah, the show will go on.
Introducing Ghost Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. GoShack currently offers items such as IR lights and full spectrum digital cameras, mail meters, pods, full spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. GoShack prides itself on providing Aussies with high quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at goshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
If you're looking for an entertaining and spooky night out, come to the Casula Powerhouse Art Centre. It's in the southwest of Sydney. We hold ghost tours and paranormal investigation nights. You'll find spooky stories, there's treasure hunts, loads of food and wine, and plenty of time for you to explore the venue on your own. The tours are run by Appy, and you can find us on Facebook or our website, which is appi.org.au.
Okay, so we're back. Feet on the Streets coming up. Now, Debbie, once again, you were at the fair, at the Psychic Expo or Psychic Fair, I can't remember what it's called, and this is a really great place to ask this question. So kids investigating and researching the paranormal was the question that you asked them, and what do you think? How do you think that went before we played?
Yeah, it was great. I actually spoke to a few little bodies as well, a few little children down there, and most people were quite positive about it. Yeah, it was a breeze. People seemed to think it was, they had no problem with it.
All right, we'll give it a listen, and we'll be back to discuss Debbie's findings.
Do you think it's okay for kids or teenagers to have an interest in researching or investigating the paranormal?
Yeah, I think so, because I think these kids coming up now are very aware, more so than us, our generation, and that they're ready to step into that.
Yeah, I do. I think it is okay as long as it's, young children guided with an adult and kept into a, something that they can understand. And I think that they should be inquisitive about everything. So certainly this is, this is something that they could look at.
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Because I believe that children are quite psychic in the most, and this is also going to just enhance their own abilities.
Under the supervision of parents, yes.
It can be quite dangerous. So I wouldn't advocate anybody, particularly young people, if they're quite open and haven't had any experience with the spirit world or how to heal themselves afterwards. So I don't think it's a good idea.
It depends if they're scared or interested in the subject.
Yeah, I do. I think it's completely up to them. It's their choice if they want to get involved with it or not. It'll just give them new experiences and let them find out more about the other side.
Do you think it's okay for kids or teenagers to have an interest in researching or investigating the paranormal?
Yes, of course. They're growing up, they've got an imagination, let them run loose. Eventually they'll work things out for themselves.
I think it's okay unless I'm under parent supervision, as long as it doesn't go, overboard.
Yes, I do. I think it's as natural as researching and investigating anything else and learning about anything else. It's part of who we are.
Yeah.
It's part of us as a species. It's part of our environment. It's just something that's not touched upon very much in life. But, yeah, I think it's fine.
Of course, they should be able to think and research anything they want to do. I think children may have their own innate knowledge as well.
I don't think so, no. I feel that teenagers should not look into things which might give them a feeling of that their life is threatened, their lifespan is threatened. Not be exposed to death too much.
Well, myself personally, I don't think so. I mean, they get there eventually, but as kids, but then curiosity always gets the better of them, so you can't stop them from doing it.
Now, Debbie, you also interviewed a lot of kids, and we're going to play that at the end of the show. But these were the parents, and a lot of these were parents themselves, I take it.
Yeah, they were. There is a couple of children, older children, in that little segment you just heard. But yes, I wanted to make sure the parents were around when I asked them for sure, yeah.
So what do you guys think about the answer? So we had majority of people that Debbie asked said yes. And now I did cut out someone. You asked at least 20, 30 people the question, and a large majority said, yes, it's fine. They're inquisitive, and, why should we stop them? Majority of the people added under parental supervision or with an adult. But there was a few people said no, and they actually gave their own reasons for why they said no. What do you guys think?
I think they shouldn't, personally. I know I do expose them to the shows and that, but that's because I'm watching them and they want to watch them too, but I mean, I would never take them on an investigation with me. No way.
Well, the 4 and 6, so they're young.
Yeah, yeah, very young. So, for one, that contaminate all my evidence. And they'd get bored so quick, it wouldn't be funny. And there are dangers, real dangers, especially if you're walking around in the dark. But I've got no problem with them going to look at the history of the place. For example, the Adelaide Jail does a daytime ghost tour, I believe now, which I wouldn't have a problem with. And they do want to go to Adelaide Jail because I've seen so many photos and that, what I have. And they've seen the videos and that, what we make. You know, they watch them. They've been in the couple. So, they are very inquisitive and they do want to go do it, but I mean, they're way too young for.
I don't really have a problem with my son coming on and knowing what I do. He's there when I do readings. He knows he has to leave the room and stuff. But he knows what I do and he asks questions. For an investigation thing, my son is older, so he would be more controllable in a sense. But it's something that, you know, that's his choice. If he wants to do that, I'm more than willing. If I didn't feel threatened at the place or something, I'd obviously do the place first, but if I didn't feel threatened there, then if he wanted to come and learn, then I would bring him if allowed. But I don't see the problem with it. I know how to protect him, so.
Hypothetical this is for myself and Debbie at this stage. Debbie, so you had a child. What would your leanings be? And I know it's going to be hard because we can never know what that link is with children. What would your mind be saying to that?
If I had a child, I'd look at the personality of the child and if they had an interest in history or learning, and I think I'd probably go along Paul's line. Yep, I'd have no problem with them knowing about the place, knowing what happened there, but whether I'd actually bring them on an investigation or not, I'm not too sure. I probably wouldn't. I'd probably lean them more towards the history and the stories rather than an actual investigation.
Okay. Do you guys think there's an age where you will allow? Like, what's the minimum age where you guys are going to allow your kids to go on an investigation under adult supervision?
When they could drive there themselves, I believe. No, it might be earlier than that. I don't know. It's difficult to say because I don't know. I'm not sure how accepted this stuff is, for one. You know, I mean, most of my friends and that all accept it, and they're all pretty easy going. But I don't know at school what it would be like if, you know, you went hunting ghosts or, you know, you're searching for UFOs. I wouldn't want them to get teased or anything like that.
Well, it depends on the child, but my child would probably be his early teens, say 13, 14. He's got his brain's more mature than what it is now. So he'll have more of an understanding and he's able to hold his own sort of thing, so.
Okay, Debbie, as an outsider, if a parent was going, I'm taking my 4-year-old investigating, you're going to think, that's a bit odd. Is there a point where that child, what age that child could be, would go, oh, yeah, fair enough.
When the child can make its own rational decisions. So I think, yeah, well into teenage years where we're adults, we can handle the ridicule or we can make sense of some things that happen. So, yeah, no, they'd have to be of an age where they have some sensibilities to do it.
It seems everyone's kind of agreeing here. So yeah. Really mid-teens. 14, 15 as a bare minimum for you guys?
It's all about maturity, I suppose, yeah, for one. Exactly. And we know there's a big problem with kids going to haunted locations. We know about Schneider's Alley with the parks being closed down and other places that have been vandalised. So, I mean, if kids going to investigations, if they're real investigators, no dramas. I don't care if they're 8 years old, if they're real investigators and their parents are with them. But if they're going and they're 14, 15 years old, they're going to a location and kicking stuff in, yeah, that's just not
that's
on.
Different.
Yeah, that's a totally different way to look at things. So.
Yeah, I think it also depends on the child as well, as to how spiritual the child is. If the child's abilities are fairly strong, you know, it'd be interesting as maybe even an experiment for us to take a child and see what a child gets.
The other thing you talked about, Paul, you said you'd be fine with your kids go on a ghost tour.
Yeah. Now, yeah, no worries about that.
What's the main difference for you guys between a kid going on a ghost tour? You know, you've accepted that.
I'm talking daytime ghost tour here. Yeah. So it's during the day. It's lit up.
Same stories, just in the light.
I've got no problems with the stories or anything like that. My problem is walking around in the dark, again, contaminating our own investigation if we were doing it. But... Yeah.
I'm talking straight out ghost tour stories. So is your fear more from a physical aspect of them themselves on the location? It's not the spiritual fear?
No, not at all. They're not scared of shit.
And also, though, it would be hard for us to have children on an investigation because we wouldn't be able to concentrate properly because we're more worried about what they're doing and where they're stepping and where they're running. And you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But what about a tour?
Yes, I would take my son on a tour.
So you're fine with that?
Yeah.
Debbie, you got a problem with children being on the ghost tours?
Not at all. It's supervised anyway. There's a person running it. You know where you're going. It's lit up. It's organised. There'd be no problem.
Of course, it'd have to be PG.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You can't say this is where this guy got his head cut off and then,
They see worse than that in their cartoons.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to be careful because, again, you can get sued. So, I mean, the tour guide themselves. So you can't make it too gory.
I'm not talking about a tour guide aspect. I'm talking about your aspect as a parent.
Yeah, as a parent. Yeah, true.
What about you? You answer it.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, you know, it seems like, I guess it's just a common sense thing. As long as they're being looked after and they're not in any danger, then that's that. But then you've got the whole spiritual aspect of these things. Paul doesn't seem to think there is a danger in investigating because nothing dangerous has happened to him.
It's not that. It's, during the day, I don't see a danger. I don't see a danger for them. I mean, there's so many people going through these places. If it is a tour, that, you know, if it was dangerous, someone else would have got hurt by now.
But what about an investigation? So you'd be okay with your children coming on an investigation in the day over at night?
I don't know about investigating, no. Then again, we investigate at home, like, mucking around. So, I mean, you don't know what's there. I mean, we haven't got any evidence, but it doesn't mean it's not that we're looking properly, but we're just mucking around with the kids.
I've seen a couple of videos on YouTube of there's one particular couple that contacted me on my page, and they'd be about 15 or 17 years old, and I think it's a brother and sister, and they've got a little K2 meter, and they go to old churches. They're overseas, they're in the UK, and they put together an entertaining little piece. They're not being overly macabre, they're including some of the history, so I think they're doing a good job.
Okay then, well, this is a perfect time to go to an ad break and head off to our interview, and we're talking with Karma Paranormal Investigations, Caroline and Marty, who are the founders of that paranormal investigation team, and they have a junior team, a team made entirely up of non-adults that go out and investigate and do everything that we well talked about. So we're going to see what they have to say on the topic when we come back.
Are you part of a paranormal investigation group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment, and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
Alright, so that sounded fantastic. We've got to get into the meat and potatoes of this interview, so to speak, and that is talking about youths and the paranormal. So something that makes your team really quite unique in my mind is you have a completely youth-orientated, I guess, sub-team, would you call it?
Yes, you could call them a sub-team.
Yeah.
We don't think of them as a sub-team.
We look at them as equals, really. I mean, even though they're children, they're intelligent human beings, and they pick up on things just as well as adults do. So we don't really look at them as a sub-team, so to speak. They're actually
a team.
Another team.
Yeah.
Okay. What are they known as, and how did they come to be?
Well, they're the Karma Paranormal
Junior team.
Yep.
And basically it started with my two girls. Finlay and Stephanie have always been interested in what we do. And, you know, they kept pestering us. And when they hit round about 10, 11, we sort of went, yeah, okay, well, we'll take you out on a couple of small investigations, see how you go. And we did, and they did a brilliant job, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, then their curiosity just peaked and they just asked questions and, you know, they wanted to know more. And, of course, their friends who were interested wanted to tag along and see what we did. So we ended up with five or six girls and one boy,
yep.
You know, who were just, they love it. They want to go out. They want to experience what reality really is, not what they see on TV. They want to know. They want to find out why and all that sort of thing.
So I guess children don't have that. Well, they haven't been exposed to what reality, in quotes, is. They haven't had it all the kind of wonder and the imagination beaten out of them by society. So I guess they do have this better insight and can come up with their own ideas much more freely than we can.
They do. They really do. And it's, you know, when we first started the junior team, a lot of the kids were, like, hanging off of our sleeves when we went out.
Yeah,
and now they just, if they hear something or if they see something, they're gone. You know, a K2 meter and a camera in hand and that's they're gone.
Yep.
But it's, you know, now when they see a shadow person or now when they see something flip around a building or through a graveyard, they don't get scared. They're more curious and more, you know, well, who are they and why are they here and, you know, and even when they do EVP sessions, some of the questions they come up, you know, with is just mind-blowing.
Well, the thing I might add at this point is that we don't take the children now on investigations that have a lot of activity. We try to pick areas where there is minimal activity for them, like we might take them to poltergeist activity and things like that.
Oh, no.
Although sometimes we've taken them out to sites that we thought had minimal activity and we had a really good night.
You know, and then we've had to bring them home again because it just was just more than what we expected.
Yeah, it was too much. We didn't want the kids being in a dangerous environment.
No.
So any sign of danger or any sign of things being too much for the children, and we packed them up and they're out of there.
Yeah.
You just answered my second question before I got a chance to ask it. Now I've got to come up with another one. So has there been criticism? There's always going to be criticism when you're talking about, well, non-adults, and working with something that could potentially be dangerous. How do you deal with that? And have you received it?
No, we haven't, believe it or not.
We've received compliments off the parents. We have one child on our team who was afraid of the dark and afraid of just about everything that moved, and now she's quite a confident lady and goes out in investigations, and, oh, yeah, she's right into it. So it's all been good.
Yeah, we don't get any, we haven't yet, and I'm sure it probably will happen, but, you know, when we explain to people the reason why the children are part of the paranormal team, you know, people are generally quite accepting and quite, you know.
They're more curious than anything else.
Yeah.
So the experiences have generally been restricted to visual. Has any of them been in a physical experience yet? Not necessarily negative, but has any of them been, well, felt physically the presence of spirit at all?
Yes, a couple of the kids have been touched, you know, like a gentle hand on the side of the face or, you know, their head's been touched and things like that.
We had one girl one night that was feeling ill and she felt somebody rubbing her belly.
Oh, okay. And how do they take that, like, when that first happens to them?
They amaze us. They really do. What would send most adults running, you know, the girls and the boys as well,
yeah.
Braden, they honestly, they just say, they go, oh, okay, all right, well, what are we doing next? And it's like, oh, okay.
So what we explain to the kids is that the only difference between a ghost and ourselves is we have a physical body and ghosts have an etheric body. But no matter which way you look at it, they're still human beings, just like we are. It's just that they have a different form than what we do. So we teach them to be polite, to have respect and have manners, and to treat people the way they would have been treated in the age that they were alive, or that we assume that they were alive.
Yeah.
The kids look at the paranormal with an open mind now, and basically they come to their own conclusions, and 90% of the time their conclusions aren't scary ones.
Yeah. Mm. And that's all about, we don't want the kids to grow up thinking that, you know, the girl from The Ring or The Grudge is going to be creeping up the side walls somewhere.
Yeah, it is. Too much television at the moment that gives the wrong idea of the paranormal field.
And it's great because, I mean, the kids now, they'll see, you know, either a YouTube video or something and they'll say, fake, but no, that's not happening. And it's great, you know, they're the biggest debunkers out now.
Yep.
Oh, look, Mum, there's a hand pulling that doona over.
Yeah, can you see that? There's a doll being thrown up on the bed. That's terrible. Why would they do such a thing? You know, it's great because, you know, they're going to grow up knowing and respecting. And I mean, if these girls and boys go out and they're the next generation of investigators, they're just going to blitz us.
Yeah.
Totally, because they're just so knowledgeable now.
So the other thing that the children's investigations does is it instills within the children a respect for people's memorials in graveyards.
Mm-hmm.
On several investigations, we've taken the kids out to graveyards because they're normally quiet places, and the children have gone about like standing up the jars with flowers on them and, you know, resetting some of the ironwork, and I've been helping them being a blacksmith.
Yeah.
Just helping repair and clean the graveyards up as they go through on investigation. But it's good. It teaches the kids a respect for history, and the same with the buildings. You know, they go into the old buildings, they respect the old buildings because they realise that sometimes the people that live there or work there are actually still there. And at the moment, with the way with our buildings are treated by the youth of today, with graffiti and broken windows and things like that, we think that it's a positive start in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's not just educational and paranormal. I guess they're learning teamwork and self-respect and a lot of other valuable lessons as well out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You also touched on equipment a little bit before. How do they work with that? Do they work with the equipment in new and unique ways with their, I guess, more open imaginations?
They tend to. We don't let them handle the more expensive equipment that we do have, only because if you remember back to that age, you were butterfingery.
Yeah.
we've had a lot of things being dropped, you know. So we try. We were very lucky in the fact that a team in America, Tri-County, sent over some equipment for the kids, which was absolutely lovely of them. It really was. And, you know, the kids now have a parabolic microphone and they have a Frank's box and all that sort of thing that they like to play around with.
Although the Frank's box tends to be amusing sometimes. The kids will be sitting there asking for EVPs and occasionally get a late footy score.
So what is their favourite equipment, do you find?
Oh, look, definitely the K2.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt, they love the K2.
Yeah. You know, just I think the visual part of it, being able to communicate with the spirits, and, you know, it's instant, it's there, they know it's happening, and, you know, and some of the questions. Our youngest member, Stephanie, she's just turned 10. Look, some of the things she comes out with is just incredible. You know, she asks how their day's been and, you know, and are you still in your year and do you know what year this is and all this sort of thing. And she just rattles it off and she has great conversations, doesn't she?
Yeah, do you have trouble seeing us? And are you looking at us through a veil? And,
you know, things like that. And we just sit back and go, oh, my gosh.
Do the children shy away from the darker questions? Because a lot of teams, when they're doing an EVP session might ask some fairly dark things along the lines of how did you die or et cetera, et cetera. Do they shy away from that kind of activity?
They don't tend to ask questions like that. You know, they don't ask any more questions, how did you die, you know, or were you buried or anything like that. It's more along the lines of can you see us, you know, do we look like colour to you and, you know, things along those lines. So, no, they don't really get into the morbid questions.
I think it's an excellent and very noble thing that the children have taken on an interest and you're able to provide them the, I guess, that aspect of their lives that I guess most children or teenagers are going to miss out on, and I think that's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So there you go, guys. So that's a team. Karma Paranormal Investigations, Caroline and Marty. As always, the full interview will be up at a later date. But for now, they just talked about their junior investigation team, who they're there under parental supervision or adult supervision, but they're doing it all themselves. They're investigating, they're doing a bit of the research, they're learning the history. They're essentially doing everything we're doing, just not with the really expensive equipment, as I said. So what do you guys think about what was said?
I think it's pretty cool, the way that she explained it. And the one point I want to bring up is the fact that they said when there's too much activity or it gets too dangerous, that's when they take the kids out of there, which I found very respectful. And yeah, I think it's amazing.
I think it was pretty good what they mentioned about them learning skills. They're learning to work in a team. They're learning to put something together. Each one of them probably has a different task, filming, recording, using equipment. Yeah, I think it sounds fantastic. I reckon I'd love to have done it as a kid myself.
Yeah, I thought it was great with the team building idea or the angle that you came up with there, and the way it works with improving their normal lives as well. But I probably would have answered this question. I'm a bit on the fence today. I would have answered this question totally different if we'd done this talk last week. But this week, at our last investigation, it put a bit of a jump in me and it made me feel uneasy, and I don't know if I'd want to expose my kids to that. And that was probably the safest house I thought we've ever been to, but it did make me feel uneasy, and I don't know how my kids would react to that. And if I was going to take them investigating ever, it would have been there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would have exposed them to that, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, they would have shit their pants, because I almost did. You know, it was a different feeling.
But Paul, these children are a bit older.
Yeah. I know. But still, even at 10, I mean, yeah, you know, that's only 4 years. It's not, well, I suppose it's almost half their life, but yeah. I just don't know how they would have reacted to some of the things that happen, you know?
I guess there is a risk. There's always going to be a risk. There's a risk in anything they do, but I guess
there's a risk for us.
Well, yeah, there is. But I guess we're talking more about the child's psyche.
Yeah,
not so much a physical danger for them. It's like, what's going to happen with their brains? Yeah, like psychologically wise. Debbie, that's you. Go.
I think children are very good at expressing straight away how they feel. They don't misrepresent what they think. They'll just come straight out with it. Oh, I don't like that, or oh, I'm scared, or something. So I think that will shield them to some respects. And I don't think anyone should ever put children in a situation that is going to be damaging, as in not recognising if they are frightened or if it is getting a bit too much.
What about aggressive attacks? I mean, I've never been aggressively attacked yet, but I know in a lot of other teams and a lot of other people have said that they've been aggressively attacked. They've been burnt by the touch of a ghost. They've things like this. What about if something like this actually happened? Because, I mean, we can go to a location a million times and nothing will happen. And just this one time, something really bad could happen. And you don't know. You can't control it. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, no worries. I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'd want to expose my kids to that, because I think for one, it would make me angry at myself. And the other thing would be the way they would react to it and how it would affect them in the future. Because I know kids are tormented by, there's so many things that can go wrong in their lives, you know. Why add another thing that can probably damage them?
So you don't agree? I don't want to ask you this question because it can be it's a mean question, but you don't agree with what Karma are doing?
By the time my kids turn 10, I'm going to be taking them on investigations for sure, you know. But that's, you know, but at the moment, I'm feeling a bit funny, yeah, a bit on the fence.
I think Paul's got a good point, but I also think The age factor plays a big factor in it, the age and the maturity level. And I also think if you were going to take your kids on investigation, like they said, they take him to the less active place, and we went to a less active supposed place. But on top of that, I think it's best if we all went first before we took our children there. So we knew we had a sort of, we knew on a little level what to expect first. And like they said, if they feel it's dangerous or there's too much, and then take the kids out. You're not going to force the kids to investigate. You're not going to force them to, if they feel scared, to stay there. You want to protect your children.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I expose my kids to dangers probably more so than what most people do, to tell you the truth. You know, we have guns. I've taken the kids out and we've done burnouts and stuff on private property, of course, where it was legal, and, you know, in a controlled environment, and, you know, doing doughies and stuff, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I don't know, as we're in a situation where I had no control and couldn't protect them, it'd be a totally different thing.
They sounded like they were putting the children in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
So it didn't sound like they're chucking them out in a graveyard and saying, go for it. They're there.
Yes, they were.
No,
they were with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like they had good supervision. It was a controlled environment, and they were careful about the equipment that they were using. And, yeah, the kids must be older. Did they actually say how old the kids were? Yeah.
10 to 16.
Yeah.
10 to 16. Okay.
See, I just got to say that what they did say was that they were putting him in a situation. It wasn't really a controlled environment. Nothing in the paranormal is a controlled environment. But they are supervised. Yeah.
Yeah. Supervision was a big thing.
Just like I said before, we've investigated it. I mean, with my kids, and I mean, I feel I've always felt there's something in our laundry.
Yeah.
And Abby's the same way. Through that laundry, I don't know. We just do that. You know, the quick step. All of us, the whole family does. And
this is your house?
Yeah. No, not my house, my missus's house. Yeah. And we all do this little shuffle through there. And we've been in there, we've held the meeting. And that's not a controlled environment. Doesn't matter even if it's our own home. It's not a controlled environment. Especially when you're doing EVP sessions, you know, and stuff like that, where you're inviting a spirit to communicate with you by different means, or, you know, you're inviting this to happen, and that's something we don't have a control over. I don't know anyone personally who's been really hurt, or who I believe's been really hurt by a spirit, but I'm sure it can happen.
Kids are placed in vulnerable situations all the time, you know. They catch the bus, they go to school, they do whatever. We're not 100% protecting them all of the time. So I think if they're doing something like that, they're in a way they're vulnerable from the spirit world, but they're no more vulnerable than everything else that they do in their day.
They do come out with good EVP questions.
Yeah. See, I think I have to disagree. I personally think they are more vulnerable because you can't see this. You don't know. Most people don't know how to react and don't know how to protect. Do you know what I mean?
What I'm going to say now has two parts, so let me finish both parts before you comment on it. The first part is, so they're going out there, they're learning a lot of interesting and useful life skills. They're learning team building, respecting of locations, respecting of cemeteries, etc. And I know people are going to say they can learn team building in other ways. They can learn this in other ways. They can learn respect just by going on tours. But are they learning better because this is something they want to do? Are these lessons more valuable to them because this is something they really want to do, really get into? Are these lessons going to be taken on board a lot more? Or should we be stopping them from having this experience and learning these skills just because it might be a little bit dangerous?
No. See, I'm sitting on the fence everywhere here. I would never tell anyone how to raise their own kids. So, I mean, if someone wants to take their kids out, that's great. Oh, go for it. And like I said, I'm saying no now, but my kids are 4 and 6. I bet you any money in the world by the time, if I'm still doing this, by the time they're 10.
Better be.
Yeah, I hope so too. I'm saying I could be dead. I don't know. I could be on the other side of the fence.
You could be dead on investigation.
I could be haunting their asses, you know. Could you imagine that? Dad smacked me. He's been dead for 10 years, but he smacked me. Anyway, I bet you any money in the world that I'll be taking them out on investigations with me.
Okay.
Because they're already intrigued. And yeah. And my son handles a K2 brilliantly. Abby's really good with cameras. Like, she's got her own night vision camera, and she holds the camera. Auntie holds the K2 and the voice recorder, and they're off, mate. They go up and down that hallway, out in the backyard, and do whatever.
Awesome.
No, you can't wrap your children up in cotton wool. And if he wants to learn that, and that's the path he wants to choose, I'm not going to stop him. If it's going to hurt him, then, you know, I'll give him my opinion. But my son's getting to the age where he's going to start going through puberty, and he's going to want to learn new things, and his personality is going to change, and that's going to set him for who he is. So I'm not going to deter him. I'll give him my advice, but it's up to him whether he takes it or not.
Debbie.
I can't comment, can I? I haven't got children, and I don't.
Say, are you an auntie?
Yeah, I don't really have any children around me.
Okay.
So I can't really comment, but I guess I can hypothetically say no. I wouldn't stop them.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of another angle. If my kids were investigating, the stuff I could buy them for Christmas would be awesome.
You buy them toys because you play with them a little bit, but this is like, here, have a thermal camera for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. You know, real-time EVP player, you know, have a whatever.
That brings up a funny idea, actually, that I just thought of. You know, when kids get to a certain age, and I remember doing this when I was a teenager, and even though I had similar interests to my parents, I didn't want to do it just because they was like, yeah, don't do that, Mum. Do you think it could be seen as uncool because the dad's investigating too?
No, because of all the TV hype now. Back in the day, there wasn't much. When I was growing up, there wasn't hardly any of these TV shows out there, and it wasn't socially acceptable to be a medium, which it's starting to now. I don't think that.
I thought paranormal was always cool because even back in the Believe It or Not stages and all that stuff, all these old shows, it was still portrayed as a cool little field.
But he's saying about you doing it, where you and your children think it's not cool.
Nah, my kids think it's cool as because they brag about it at school.
Yeah, but they're already not 13, 14.
No.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll tackle listeners' questions. But before we go to that break, so you guys are all cool with what Karma are doing? You reckon that's a good thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If their kids are ready, that's awesome. Like I said, my kids are pretty young, 4 and 6, and you know, and they're interested already. By the time they're 10, they're going to be raring to go. And they've already been to a few. I've already done it. And like, we've already gone to locations. No, it was nighttime too. We were just scouting, you know, taking some photos of some old buildings. We've been to Glanville Hall. We've been to the wool sheds. We've walked out through the back of Port Adelaide there, you know. We've been to the flour mill, a few other places as well. So, you know, they're ready.
Tash?
I don't have anything to say.
Well, do you think it's a good idea? Do you think what Karma are doing good?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Look, if their children are willing to do it and, you know, they've got the respect and understanding of it, why not?
Debbie.
Yep, no problems with it at all.
Yeah, that's 4-okay, guys. You're going to Vegas.
did you just burp during a question?
I did. I'm sorry, guys. I was hoping the skies, but of course, Paul makes obvious. We're taking a break right now with that listener's question.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or, why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre? Ring 0407 715 866. Or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
If you're looking for top quality Australian-made paranormal equipment, look no further than Apparition Technologies, making everything from EM pumps to shadow detectors and much more. Apparition Technologies, Australia's leading paranormal equipment manufacturer. Find us on facebook.com/apparitiontechnologies.
Today, this week's listener's question comes from Hannah Lund. That's a completely made-up name, guys. I forgot to put the questions out, so I made up one just now.
Oh. Sorry, Hannah.
Sorry, that's Hannah.
Jason's mum.
All right.
My mother-in-law.
Well, okay. Tasha's mother-in-law didn't ask this question, but she's going to get the credit anyway, and that is, you're accepting that your children are going to go investigating, you're going to take them investigating somewhere. What's the number one spot where you wouldn't take them? Where you wouldn't take children investigating? Yeah.
Cemetery.
You wouldn't take them to a cemetery?
No.
Why?
Because they're boring.
Oh my god.
I don't find cemeteries very fulfilling as an investigation. I'm sorry.
I find you're saying lots of yeses and no to things in my mind for the complete wrong reason. Out of context, it's like, no, I don't want to take them investigating because they're going to ruin the integrity of my finds.
Yeah.
Or so you're not going to take them to a cemetery because it's boring.
Yeah.
Okay, Debbie, where wouldn't you take children investigating?
Oh, I probably wouldn't wander around with kids in the dark anywhere. So, yeah, probably a cemetery or somewhere like that as well. Yeah, it's dark. What are they looking at? There's nothing much for them to see. Just want to make it a little bit more entertaining for kids.
I'll take them in the dark, but somewhere controlled again. Somewhere,
yeah. Okay, well, I wouldn't take the children anywhere around near water in the dark, like a river or somewhere where someone's died. And also it depends about the structure of the building as well. If it was really unsafe or if it had asbestos or something like that, I wouldn't take them.
What?
I'm going to re-ask this question. We're going to keep those answers. Physical things aside.
Okay.
Or boredom aside. Just on a purely psychological and what happened in these locations, where wouldn't you take them?
Monte Cristo.
Probably something that was a really gruesome location. Unless they were older, I probably wouldn't take them to Adelaide Jail in the hanging cell or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
If they were ready to go out and investigate me, I would have no limits. I'll take them anywhere that was safe enough for them to walk around in the dark.
Okay, then. Okay. There you go. That's everyone's answers.
What about you?
Don't ask me. I can't really think of it. I guess I wouldn't take them to... I wouldn't take them to any in-home personal investigations. That's a place I wouldn't take them. I'd take them on any historical location.
Yep.
But I'm not going to take them anywhere in home because that really, I guess that would ram at home on them that if this can happen in someone's house, any old person's house, this could happen at home. So
yeah, and same with cemeteries. That's probably the major reason I said cemeteries is because it has public access and... We know cemeteries can get dangerous at night.
Okay.
So I don't.
As in real physical dangers.
I don't like cemeteries anyway.
Yeah, me either.
At night, I think it's disrespectful.
I don't think it's disrespectful, but yeah.
That's another show. Investigating cemeteries.
Yeah, also I wouldn't probably take my son anywhere that's had malicious activity.
Yep.
But I knew that there was something that was, pretty bad and pretty active. Why are you looking at me like that?
No. Where would you take him then? Where would his first investigation be? Is that a better question for you, Tash?
Well, I didn't think the other one wasn't too bad either.
Okay, sorry. I know the first place I would take my kids would be Adelaide Jail.
Because
it was safe. It would be safe.
Well, I can't run out.
Eh? Yeah, they can't run out. There's only one set of steps or two places where they can go upstairs. And so there's no real steep stairs or that they can trip over. And they trip over on the ground, big deal, It's not going to hurt them much. And spirit-wise, I don't know.
I haven't experienced Tatum Town, but I've seen a few photos and stuff. So that looks pretty interesting. I think I'd take my son to Tatum Town.
I'd be scared because my son would jump on that trike in that old mud house. And then he'd smash it and then I'd have to... explain myself.
Well, that's it for tonight's show, everybody. Sorry. You got three listeners' questions, pretty much. All right. So, as always, if you want to contact us, it's facebook.com/theparanormalguide or www.theparanormalguide.net or 0437233729. So, as far as children and young adults investigating, not yet adults investigating paranormal, I guess everyone's kind of cool with all right, as long as the child's ready or the young person is ready and they have sufficient supervision and the place is suitably safe.
Yep, correct.
Yep, okay, everyone agrees. And now, taking us out tonight, I'm not going to play a song. Debbie, when she was at the expo, asked children whether they should be allowed to investigate, and we got quite a few answers. So we're going to go out listening to that. And as always, if you've got any comments, let us know. We love them. So until next time, everybody, see you later.
Many blessings.
Happy hunting, kids.
See you on the streets, guys.
Do you think it's okay? Because you're a kid, aren't you?
Yes.
Do you think it's okay for kids or teenagers to have an interest in researching or finding out about ghosts or spooky happenings?
I think it's okay because I have a lot of books about it on home and I do research ghosts myself, and it's great to have an interest in something different, I believe, and it's a lot different than like all these other topics, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's all right. Like, kids they're interested in things, they get excited about different things, and if you go and see a movie that has ghosts in it or supernatural activity, so you would want to go and look it up. So I think it's all right.
I think it's all right. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. I wouldn't, because I'm a bit of a softie.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd get a bit scared. It depends if they're scared or interested in the subject.
Hello, guys. How you going?
Good.
Now, you're all children, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it's okay for kids to have an interest in ghosts and spooky houses and things like that? What do you reckon about that, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you think?
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah? What do you reckon a ghost or a spooky house is?
Really scary.
Yeah? What do you reckon?
Oh, I reckon they should be able to show an interest in that.
Yeah? What do you reckon a ghost is?
A paranormal spirit, or I don't know.
A house that has spooky ghosts in it.
Yeah?
Scary.
Scary and up in the sky?